Hi, my name is Juliette Campasi, and I'm the Learning Solutions Project Executive at the Institute of Leadership and Management. Welcome to our After COVID-19 series, where we explore whether there will be a new normal. This episode provides a summary of the webinar, The Future Recalibrated, The Rise of the Can-Do Culture. Ways of working have changed with such speed that previously would not have been thought possible. Our guest, Steve Wells, provides us with an overview for the future, exploring what it is within our culture that's starting to change. Well, my question for you, Steve, is what do we need to consider as we move into the future from this present that we've got right now?
So there are two things that particularly strike me as important to consider. One is the notion of navigating a new landscape. And the second is thinking about the new futures of organizations' work in the workplace. So let me take those each in turn. So when I think about navigating a new landscape, I'm actually looking at some of the critical factors that we've seen on trend anyway, but that have been exaggerated and accelerated through the pandemic. So if we take the idea that we're living in a complex, multifaceted world, and then we think about how the pandemic has changed our ideas, for the meantime at least, of globalization, the lack of international movement of people and goods, the way that economies have shrunk drastically through the lockdown, the way that trade has been heavily restricted, the way that one of the responses to the pandemic has been to give up our freedom through pervasive technologies, understanding our movements in track and trace systems. If we think about the way that sustainability has come to the fore, not just because the lockdown has reduced emissions and therefore had a positive impact on the causes of climate change, but also the way that healthcare systems work, the way that inequalities manifest themselves in incidents of disease, and the way that economies and economics have had to be helped and supported by government intervention. So the notion of sustainability, I think, has grown in importance, not any one particular part of it, but the whole patchwork, if you like, of sustainability drivers. We then think about the dynamic between those that want to return to the old world and those that actually don't want to waste the opportunity of a crisis, and think about a total system reboot. How is it that we can change for the good some of the social structures, some of the systems, the way we govern, the way we work, the way that we educate, and the way that we protect ourselves? So there are some really interesting challenges, I think, there. One of the other areas of interest is the idea of facts or factual information, the way that we can potentially misuse information. And there are some interesting examples of that, not least the President of the United States, who sometimes seems to have quite a loose grasp of fact, but then also the way that people have, in all innocence, used information about the pandemic that's proven to be inaccurate. So that kind of challenges our ideas about how we deliver facts. The way that governments have responded to the crisis has been different right around the world. And that's pinpointed the degree of preparedness, the willingness to lock down populations and take really tough decisions, as well as the way that they measure and look at both the implications, but also the underlying causes of both the pandemic and societal responses to lockdown. So there are massive lessons to learn there. That, I think, builds into resilience. And resilience in the case of enterprises has been very much about robust supply chains and thinking about, because China was shut down for 2 weeks at the beginning of the pandemic, how do we ensure that we can continue to manufacture and bring to market the products that we sell without relying on China? And that may be through the reintroductions of local manufacture. So those are some of the things that I think of when we start to think about what can we learn from the pandemic to help us towards a new landscape. So the next area was about new futures of organizations. And it's really important to understand that future-proofed organizations work across three timeframes. Not only do we need to win the race for the current year through operational excellence, we also need to look out 1, 3, maybe 5 years to search for growth. But typically we do that through extrapolating what we know from the past. So that gives us, I think, a full sense of security about how the future may play out. But really successful future-proofed organizations then try to understand the underlying future drivers. So they get above the horizon, look beyond the horizon, not just at the trends that we see right now, but also at the weak signals that are emerging in the future. And it's when we bring all those together that we get a much more insightful view about how the future might play out. And that might play out is really important, because we need to actually challenge our existing mindset. So do we want to play by the rules of the game that we've become used to? Do we want to always get what we've always got? Actually, we don't. We want to create a new game, because if we fall back on the things that are familiar, then actually we get overtaken by our competitors. So there's a challenge for our underlying cultural DNA. How do we actually make the shift from doing what we've always done to doing something different, to innovation, to creativity, to experimentation? That, I think, then plays into leadership and the notion that actually what we've been used to up to now is ordinary management. And ordinary management is about having agreement on the consensus, or having agreement on the way ahead, but also being fairly certain about how the future will play out. More and more, there's less certainty about how the future will play out, and we don't have consensus about the way ahead. And that's the realm of extraordinary leadership. For those of you familiar, that's the realm of wicked problems. And wicked problems and this notion of extraordinary leadership come together in what I think the next leaders are going to be required to do. And that's fundamentally about building capability to imagine and experiment our way to the future. And one of the ways we do that is by adopting a new configuration of leadership skills, from exhibiting empathy through being aware of our impact on our organization and our employees, but thinking about foresight, scenario thinking, ecosystem thinking, just taking a much more broader, more human look about the way the future will develop. It's also about digital literacy, knowing which questions to ask about which technologies as society and business evolves and develops into the future. It's also about education and training, understanding the right things to be teaching people now to prepare them for a very different future. And part of that future is about rethinking work, the work culture, looking at what's happened through the pandemic with remote working, empowering people to do the right thing, to create the right value at work, at home, and not be constantly observed, not be constantly surveilled in order to make sure that we're doing the right work. Building of trust is critically important as we rethink work culture. So when I think about the can-do culture, there are kind of eight things from those different domains that come up for me. One is about understanding the context. What is it that's changing and what can it teach us about the future? The other is embedding cycles of experimentation and learning to ensure that we don't do the same things again and again, and that we actually do something different as a result of what we're learning. The third is about focusing on sustainability, not just the economy, not just climate, but actually those 17 United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. The fourth is communicating with clarity, so there's no risk of misunderstanding. That's crucially important if actually what we want to do is encourage people to embrace complexity and uncertainty. The fifth is about challenging mindsets. How do we change our mindset? What's the benefit of adopting a new mindset so that we don't always do what we've always done, but we get something different? We take a different perspective. We use innovation, creativity to create a new game in the future. The sixth then is about adapting new leadership skills. I've spoken a little bit about those just now. So trying to understand what it is that makes a difference, what it is we need to do differently to lead people into a new future. The seventh is educate, train, and learn. So we need to make sure that what we're teaching people is actually fit for the future and not fit for the past. And finally, to rethink work. Because one of the trends that I think will be accelerated by the pandemic is the way that we automate work. So we need to be really clear about what it is we want people to do in the future that automated systems have taken from us in the present.
Well, thank you, Steve. That's great. And I think these 8 points are a great way to finish this episode. Listeners can find further resources and topical content on the Institute's website at www.institutealum.com. And thank you once again, Steve, for joining us on this episode.